I describe the corporate venturing unit, whether it's clienting or investing, as an organ transplant. You're putting something into the body that is not there. The immediate response from the body is, this is not invented here. It's a bacteria. It needs to leave.
Hello, and welcome to the CVC Unplugged podcast from GCV. I'm Fernando Moncada. Jeppe Hoyer is a longtime venture investor with experience in financial VCs, corporate VCs, and on his own as an angel investor based in Copenhagen, Denmark. A former partner at Maersk Growth, the CVC arm of Danish logistics giant Maersk, Hoyer talks about how he was initially skeptical of going into corporate VC, having been initially dissuaded by the reputation that CVCs had at the time, but how he has since been convinced of the benefits that a corporate can bring. We talk about how the venture scene has evolved in Denmark and in the Nordics, and how many CVCs have popped up over the years in the region, but many have also gone defunct, and how the environment can be improved. Hoyer explains how he sees the corporation and corporate VC like a human body, with the brain as the C-suite, and how badly things can go when the brain doesn't communicate well enough with the rest of the body, especially the CVC unit, among many other things. Hoyer has, for the last several months, been writing a newsletter on LinkedIn, which I recommend CVC folks anywhere can check out. It's always got nice nuggets of information and interesting interviews with people who know what they're talking about. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe to CVC Unplugged, and above all, enjoy the show. So here we are with Jeppe Hoyer. Jeppe, thanks so much for joining me today. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Fernando, for inviting me to the show. I'm really looking forward to talking with you.
I understand that you recently gave a talk at Copenhagen Business School at CBS, and I figured it might be worth mentioning. As we were just speaking off camera there, that I used to live in Copenhagen for a year during university as an exchange student at CBS. So the city and the school hold a special place in my heart. So it was nice to see that you were just there just now. So
yeah, no, it was a great event yesterday. Hosted by CBS and Tech Barbecue here in Copenhagen, a study performed by a professor there, Francesco, Italian guy, talking about how do the Nordic CVCs invest?
Mm-hmm. Which great topic, because that's one of the things that I'm looking to ask you about. But first, the way we always start the show is about the guests themselves. And you've had quite a long career in business and investment. Your time as a CVC, I think, came around 2018, if I'm not mistaken, when you joined Maersk Growth and were there for several years. And even before that, you had, finance roles at more than one kind of VC outfit. And since leaving Maersk also, in addition to your angel investments, you've been venture partner, I believe, at two venture firms. Is that correct? Can you talk me through your journey and kind of how you got to where you are?
Yeah, I got into venture capital in 2007. At that point of time, I didn't know anything about venture capital and a fairly untouched area in Denmark. My background is as an auditor. So when an opportunity came for a finance role in what was then called Sunstone Capital, a spin out of the Danish growth fund, IFO, spun out separate life science and tech funds, but within one entity. The first two fund generations were fully kind of going out of active investment period, so the last part of it. And then two new funds with 100% funding for doing new investments. So Sunstone Capital was a big bond setup, a very nice way of putting venture capital into the landscape, supporting the startup ecosystem in Copenhagen and in the Nordics in general. So was part of the journey for 9 years as CFO and learned everything from Jimmy Fussing Nielsen, that is now managing partner at Hardcore Capital, and Peter Benson within Life Science. So that was my foundation. Left Sunstone on good terms in 2016, was part of raising another fund here in Copenhagen also. And then I got my first touch point with corporate venturing in 2017. The first part was actually 4 months with a corporate here in Denmark called Leo Pharma. They had an incubator called Leo iLab that today does not exist anymore. But they were kind of trying to spin out their incorporated companies, and I assisted with that for a period of time. And then Maersk Growth called and asked if I could be part of building up Maersk Growth. And that was super exciting. I was a little bit skeptical because the first 9 years of my venture career was, you know, be careful about the CVCs. Do not behave as standard VC. And I actually had that with me in. So I also wanted this when we got started, that we needed to sit away from Maersk HQ. We needed our own processes. We needed our own lawyers and all of that. And that was also how we constructed Maersk Growth in the beginning. But then slowly over the years, I got to learn the big stuff and the great stuff that CVC can do. So stayed on for 5 years as investment partner. Invested across the globe, Sydney, Cairo, Germany, Scandinavia, Eastern Europe, Silicon Valley, was part of contributing to the growth of the Berlin-based unicorn Forto, also the Swedish-based unicorn Enride that is within autonomous electric trucking. So, you know, a great journey, so many stories to tell, ending up in a situation where 100% supportive of corporate venturing and all facets of it, not only the investment side, but all the other ones, you know, the corporate clienting models are great, the incubating part, there's so many great consultants out there that can assist, right? So ended with Maersk Growth in 22, actually tried to raise my own fund in 23. Gave up for various reasons that we can dive into if interested. And then, you know, started being also, as you mentioned, a venture partner with Upfin, that is a small fintech fund here in Copenhagen, managed by Mr. Lorenzen, that is a former colleague of mine at Sunstone Capital. And then I'm also venture partner with Antler Nordics and supporting their growth of also, you know, finding people, getting them into the same team, working on a, you know, business case, and then getting funding from Antler if they are successful. So that's the story.
Yeah, no, fascinating. And there's a lot to kind of dig into there. But firstly, I'm curious, what was it that kind of initially helped you kind of overcome your first bit of skepticism about CVCs when you first went into Maersk Growth?
Yeah. When I left Sunstone Capital back in the days, I really wanted to become an investment partner and show that my full understanding from the financial side could also be a way to become an investor. And then I was part of the ecosystem, did my first angel investment there in Unibio. And then, you know, the Maersk brand is something very special in Denmark.
I was going to say, in Denmark, it must be, you know, Maersk, Carlsberg, and Lego, right?
and recently Novo, right? So I think for me, My mother's side of the family is from a town called Svendborg, where Maersk originated from. I also tried to become a shipping trainee right after grade school.
Yeah, there you go.
In high school. So, you know, I had a, you know, there was a thing with me and Maersk. So when I got the opportunity to join the biggest brand in Denmark, there was no doubt, right? I could combine my knowledge with the biggest brand in Denmark.
So what was it like then to go from I suppose, you know, a financial VC to then the CVC? What was that first kind of experience in the corporate context for you?
I think the first part was, you know, Maersk is a very, very good operating machine. There are structures, there are processes and so forth, right? So being allowed into and with great honor to be part of it was huge for me, but the way it operated had nothing, in my opinion, with venturing to do, right? So for me, venturing is really about trial and error, but under a specific set of rules where you know that you cannot burn too much cash and so forth. You have to be careful, but you need to take risk. For example, when you walk the HQ of Maersk, there is a handrail and it's written on the wall, hold the handrail. The reason being, if you are on a container vessel in high seas and you don't hold the handrail. Then you'll fall
down the stairs. Yeah.
So we also have or Maersk has a national kind of safety day, or one times a year, right? And it's super important. But combining that history with doing venture investing, that was a little bit of a thing we had to go through, right?
Mm-hmm. And was there a kind of inherent friction there in those early days?
I think we pivoted Maersk Growth a couple of times. In the beginning, we took over a legacy portfolio of ideas, and the intent was to do a little bit of incubation. We also did some acceleration where we ran an accelerator called the Fight Food Waste. The idea was great, right? It was like, could we stop food waste at origin? Then we would be able to move more containers, hence make more money, and also then the sustainability part of it. So I think that made a ton of sense. But then again, there was something about, and maybe we dig into that, there was something about, you know, how do you engage the corporate venturing unit with the core unit? How do you make sure that you can leverage all the great benefits within the core group?
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, of course, always like a massive theme at any CVC unit, because sure, it's all one company, but you know, contrary to, you know, perhaps popular belief, you know, companies are not really monolithic, are they? They're a collection of different business units, each with their own kind of motivations, etc. So how did you find then kind of making that integration?
So I think when I describe what is needed for corporate venturing to succeed, I describe the corporate as the human body. C-level and board is kind of the brain, and they know that something is happening to the body. They need to make a change to be able to adapt to new technology, disruption, business models, and so forth. So I describe the corporate venturing unit, whether it's clienting or investing, as an organ transplant. You're putting something into the body that is not there. The immediate response from the body is, this is not invented here. It's a bacteria. It needs to leave. They will fight it unless the head, that is quite, you know, it's a brain, right? You need to tell yourself, I need to eat the medicine, right? I need to talk all the good thing about this organ transplant. You can also see it as you need to communicate. C-level needs to communicate all the time. And the whole part of the brain needs to agree. Transplant is a great idea. Otherwise, it will not last. I think some of the data from global corporate venturing also shows that the average lifetime of a CVC is below 4 years.
Yeah, no, the 3-year mark is a very important kind of milestone for any CVC. Yeah,
it is, and even Maersk Growth succeeded in 6 years before a lot of changes happened, right? But I think the whole communication part, also this, you know, gaining financial value out of your corporate clienting or corporate venturing activities is important, right? So C-level needs to take it into communication also to the external world. It's not only internal, you have to be very vocal about it to harvest the financial and strategic value, in my opinion. So in the beginning for Maersk Growth, right, I think there was not enough communication between C-level and the body about what is going on. But that came later on, right? We had some changes underway. We changed managing partner. When Shireen El-Sakhani joined, she had 20 years of experience from the Maersk sales organization. Then we could really collaborate. So our direct investments all of a sudden get exposure for the core Maersk. What we also installed was what we called Insights. So Insights was delivering information about what is going on in the startup ecosystem to C-level. So you could also see it as, you know, kind of the things that are communicated between this new organ and the brain, right? And that really gave a lot of good things. And all of a sudden, we were, I will never say top of mind, but we were at the mind of C-level at Maersk.
So how important then do you think it is? Because another kind of question that, you know, when you're building a venture team in a CVC that people ask themselves is, should we hire internally or externally? But from what you're saying that happened at Maersk, the arrival of an MD from inside of the corporate really changed things around, right?
It did. I think one interesting point, and I got that when I interviewed Ilya Strebulev, the professor from Stanford. He did a study where he interviewed corporate venturing units, and 60% said that they would like more education from C-level about corporate venturing. So for me, there is a knowledge gap. So the way that I would start, I would always have a managing partner from the core business. I would take somebody from strategy or wherever, and then I would educate the hell out of them, excuse my language.
Yeah, language is always allowed on this podcast, no?
So I would educate them, you know, maybe send them for the course that Ilya is running, but there are many courses around the globe, and teach them for a start. And then I would start in the small part. That is also some of the things that I often talk about is this, you know, start in the small and then do some trial and error. I am also one of the ones that really recommends to do a couple of fund-of-fund investments. You will benefit from learning the processes from a VC. How do they do it? How do they create their investment proposal and so forth? There's a lot of leapfrogging you can do with your on the knowledge side if you just educate yourself. And then I would also, as you also mentioned, right, I would hire in externals at the same time. I was the first external hire with knowledge from venture capital when I joined Maersk Growth, and we kept hiring more and more. So in the end, it was kind of a 50-50 balance. I do believe whenever you have to collaborate between startups and core Maersk, you need people that understand kind of the corporate world and how you operate, right? Because they're not really willing to take risk.
Right. And you mentioned that, you know, you'd recommend doing a couple of fund of funds, you know, investments to kind of learn before jumping into it yourself. What would you say it would be the kind of inflection point or because a lot of, you know, it's a pretty, you know, common strategy, but the question people have is, you know, when do we know that we've learned enough to make direct investments, right? When would you say that would be?
Yeah. I think, so one of the ones that I talked to in the CVC world is Crispin Like from ENBW. In Germany.
Former guest on the show as well.
And he's great, right? And he's really promoting that you have C-level as part of your investment committee and you have the relationship to the CFO. You see the same in the former Nokia Growth Partners setup. That was also with direct link to the CFO. So I think you have to, within your organization, your corporate, to find the money to do a couple of fund of fund investments to really get started. And this study the speech I gave yesterday at Copenhagen Business School was about the findings that the professor had gotten from the Nordic in collaboration with Tech Barbecue. 82% of the CVCs in the Nordics, they are balance sheet investors. And the most important outcome of their investment into corporate venturing is strategic. But there is no strategic good outcome without a financial outcome. For me, they are interlinked. And you can say the way that my former employer works today is, in my opinion, a more corporate clienting model. One of the things that I could have done differently when I look back is trying to get some more financial gains early on to show the CFO that it's actually quite lucrative business through corporate venturing. And not only strategic, because I think, you know, CVCs are also created in cycles, right? When everything is going great, right, and prices are high, there's a lot of corporates that joins the venture world. That also means that they are paying extremely high valuations for their investments. So actually, if you are out there now considering to do CVC, it's the right time. Valuations are fairly stable and on the lower side, so you can get into the market and also do some good profits on it instead of doing it all the way at the top as many do.
I want to follow up on the point you made about the relationship with the CFO, because you know that's one of the things when I was speaking to Crispin, that's one of the things that we spoke about. He's very much a proponent of having the CFO in the reporting line for a CVC, which is something that others might disagree with, right? Maybe they feel that the CFO, you know, might not be the best person to report to. And as a former CFO yourself, I'm wondering where you fall on that question.
I'm probably biased with my audit background, right? I think finance is a big deal of it. The way that Maersk Growth was created was an idea from the chairman and the CEO. And having the CEO and the chairman as sponsors of your venturing unit is super, super important. But I think if you overall have support from all C-level, it's not that important where it comes from. You can, however, you have to be careful, right? Because when you take a huge organization, you might have an R&D department, an R&D lab. You also have M&A on the other side. Then you have strategy, and there also might be a tech division. So you have all these parties that are interested in working with startups. So finding the right structure and the right reporting line, right? Is head of strategy in agreement with the CFO that normally is responsible for the M&A part? Right? In Maersk has an M&A division, right? But that is up towards the CFO. So it would be so easy to put it there, but I think it really depends about the organization, I would say, you know, but having the support of everybody is important. I will not go directly to say also that it's true what Crispin says, because I've also done a newsletter on it. It can be done in many ways, and there are studies also showing that, you know, as long as you have C-level support, it's enough.
Right. And when you say it depends on the organization, what factors would that hinge on?
It's also a little bit about where is the strength in the C-level. So here I think a lot about the survival rate of the venturing unit, where you have to be careful is when C-level lets go of the corporate venturing entity because they're too busy. That's at the point of time where, you know, as I explained before, right, the head stops taking its own medicine, right? And then this organ will be exposed from the body.
Right. Makes sense. I also want to ask you about something you touched on a bit earlier about, you know, the Nordic venture scene. And you said, you know, something like just over 80% of Nordic CVCs are balance sheet investors. How have you seen, you know, since your days at Maersk and even before that, the venture scene, but also more specifically the corporate VC kind of ecosystem grow in Denmark and the Nordics? How's it been coming along in your view?
In Denmark, we have had a lot of CVCs. Many of them has folded. And I think there's also something about when you set it up and you have harvested the strategic knowledge, it's also okay to close it down. Where you have to be careful is that when you have done investments into startups, because that also comes with a promise to continue to invest in the upcoming rounds. That is an essential part of investing into startups. When a founder invites you in to and be part of their baby, then you have a responsibility that you need to adhere to. It is super, super important, and I cannot mention it many times enough, right? So for me, it's really, you know, be careful there. So I've seen them come and go. I got an excellent question from a person yesterday that basically said, so is it even possible in the Nordics to do corporate venturing? The response that I gave that I still think is true is that the same question was asked to the European venture capitalist 20 years ago. Shouldn't you just let the Americans do it? Because they're a lot better at it. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that corporate venturing has a place and more money is flowing into it. And I'm one of the promoters of giving more information to C-level. You know, whenever I can get to speak to a corporate, I do it, because then I can spread the word of all the good things you can get out of corporate venturing. So for me, it's something that is growing. It will come, and I'm looking forward to next year's analysis on where is Nordic corporate venturing.
And when you speak to those corporates, do you find them to be generally receptive?
Yes, I do. They are receptive of it. I think the ones that normally engage into corporate venturing are the corporates that are a little bit under pressure. Strategically, they need to find new business model or better technology to operate their companies, or they are under pressure within, for example, sustainability. They need to find a solution. What do we do? They're fairly receptive. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm studying at the moment is HR's role in corporate venturing. I have previously been a little bit skeptical about HR role overall. They tend to come and go within business units when there are challenges and so forth. But I think, you know, building culture is also one of the things about building a corporate venturing unit. And I think the match between HR and this division is important. It is also a very, very good way to display to young candidates for jobs in your corporate that, you know, we are on the forefront of technology and knowledge and so forth. And maybe, you know, having the ability to be exposed towards a startup for a period of time makes sense. Maersk, we did roundtable discussions. So we will invite, you know, colleagues from the core, and then we will take, you know, 5, 6, 7 founders from our startups and have a roundtable discussion on a specific area. And I think that's a way to also get the corporate employees exposed to it, you know, what is going on in Silicon Valley or the other places in the world, right, that has a hefty tech development.
And is there something in the regulatory framework there that can be changed to help as well? Because I know that in Norway, for example, right now, there's a big discussion over the regulatory framework there and how conducive it is to investors coming in from abroad. Is there something similar in Denmark?
Yeah, we have a similar case in Denmark. It's about taxation for the startups, right? So, you know, after the good IPO of Unity Technologies a couple of years back, there is a lot of Danes that actually suffered on taxes and got taxed on gains that was not realized. For me, that is very specific country by country. The Germans also got some better legislation on that. But that is also the challenge in Europe, because it is the European Union, many of the countries are part of, but it also gives you opportunities. So for me, nothing specific on that part.
Okay. And when you speak to, you know, I'm curious, you know, you certainly give talks at universities from time to time. And historically, you know, for finance graduates, for example, VC has always been a pretty attractive field, right? But then corporate VC, a bit less so, maybe because they don't really, you know, graduates might not know what it's all about, or there's less exposure to them. But do you find that that's changing, or that's been changing?
No, I think that is true. I think this is for me a question about access to talent. And I think the talents in CVCs needs to be at the same level as in the VC world. So for me, it's more adapting to the carry scheme of things. You need within a corporate to give the same possibilities to gain from the exits as you do in the venture world. Otherwise, you will end up in a situation where you train people and they leave to the venture capital scene. It is, you can, of course, also just be proud of that and let them leave. But then, of course, you need to have a budget to train people. So for me, you know, it is talent acquisition. There are, you know, yearly a study performed in Denmark, for example, what is the most attractive company to work for? And you have the same 5 on top every year. Of course, the ones that goes to business school and wants to have a financial career, goes for the larger banks in internationally anyway, but fighting for that talent can be difficult. I think the entrepreneurial mindset is more something you want for the venture side. And luckily in Denmark, at least, we have more different degrees popping up here and there about, you know, how do you get exposed to venture? How do you become a founder yourself and so forth?
Mm-hmm. And that's talent on one side, but I would imagine that, you know, the kind of knowledge economy is also very important, right? So, and you know, as someone who has like a kind of newsletter on LinkedIn, which I recommend to listeners to check out, you know, Jeppe's newsletter, it's filled with really interesting tidbits and interviews with very knowledgeable people. So that's a, you know, highly recommended. But how important do you feel it is for professionals to share their knowledge around in the way that you do?
I think it's essential. I think that is the way for all of us to become more knowledgeable about the good things that you can do. I think this whole, you know, talking about more about successes than the failures. Of course, the failures are out there, and you should also, you know, as long as you learn from your failures, it's not a challenge. One of the things that is super important to know, right, that normally when you look at academia and look at how to make, you know, profits from investing into shares, right, it's a bell curve distribution. Venture capital is all about the long tail. So it also is about, you know, cutting losses. And the things that do not work, they just don't work, but you need to get that out of your portfolio, but in a good manner. But the collaboration and the learning and sharing is what makes everybody more educated. And that is what we need. Also, as I, you know, I referred to the study by Professor Ilya before, and I think it is, you know, we need to train C-level. So the one of the next things that I'm looking for is the larger universities and their focus on this topic.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that in a corporate context that there is a lot of kind of sunk cost fallacy in that sense, you know, maybe not wanting to cut your losses?
I think what I've seen a lot of corporates do, right, one of the things that is popping up now is also the secondary market, right? So secondary funds that are out buying portfolios from corporates. I think that is super interesting. I've seen a lot of corporates that when they decide to close down the venturing entities, they leave their assets on the balance sheet. Also because you do not want to be the one that looks like a fool, right? That you go out then again and sell these assets and then they are all of a sudden extremely valuable. So that is some of the politics that I also learned in the corporate world, that, you know, you don't really want to take these risks. So you have to be able to park them somewhere where they are out of your responsibility. But again, then you don't learn. So they go hand in hand. And my recommendation is that, you know, go all in and, you know, get the best out of it. Make sure to write down your strategy when you start your CVC entity. What are the successful parameters? What KPIs can you measure upon? And agree that this is a 10-year journey to be successful. Because C-level, they come and go. So if no strategy, long-term strategy has been made, then the venturing unit will not survive.
Right. And have you found, you know, from you know, speaking to people or from your own experience of any kind of particularly effective strategies to help units survive across kind of, you know, management changes or other changes at the company?
Yeah, I think as long as you have prepared yourself, you know, I think one of the comments that I also had before, you know, I wish I would have, you know, gotten some more returns back to my CFO, right, to show that this is actually a part of the business that can contribute on the profit side of things. I know, you know, it was such a big corporate that I worked for, right? So it will just be a rounding error in the end. But still, if you show you can make money and you're not a cost-burning entity, then you will survive for a long time. And when you see some of the older CVCs out there, like Qualcomm and and the others, right, they are successful. They have given financial return. So all the ones that are in there for strategic reasons, I would be a little bit skeptical upon, right? So for me, it is, you know, go out there, get some returns, but make sure that you have this strategic plan specifically made with the CFO that will be the one throwing the knife at you when it's cost-cutting time, right? Because it's so easy to remove the corporate venturing unit because it has no influence on the existing business.
Right. Well, we always like to end the show with a bit of advice for the founders who may be listening in the audience. So, you know, if a founder were to reach out to you today or back when you were at Maersk and they wanted to pitch you, what is it that you wanted to hear from them?
I want to hear a solid story. And I will ask the question about, you know, how do you become a unicorn? But today you need to be reasonable within what you dream upon and wish for. So be reasonable. Actually, as you went through your question, I actually thought you were going to ask me something different, because one of the things that I fought a long time for was getting access to founders, because the great founders we all want to invest into. And the question there was more, you know, what is the right for CVC to invest into a startup? Because the startup founders have been told by all the venture capitalists that, you know, be careful about the CVCs. I think the VCs of the world, they always tell a story about their active investors. I think the question as a founder should be, what is it that you gain from this investor? And on the corporate side, what you do gain is brand recognition, access to assets, potential collaboration, potential access to your investors' customers, and you get access to network. So I think there is a clear definition of an active investor and what you can gain access to. And that part I've been fighting a lot. So, you know, when I do my angel investments and look at investments, right, I'm more than positive about CVCs to join the cap table. And I'm not skeptical about that, you know, compromising the exit of the startups or anything like that. So for me, the message to all the startup founders out there is, you know, go out, meet the CVCs, figure out what they can contribute to you and the growth of your company.
So on the corporate side then, when you mentioned earlier, of course, the C-suite needs, you know, largely a bit more education to get them on board with what the venture side is doing. But what else can corporates, generally speaking, do more of or a better job of to help their CVCs and the wider kind of startup ecosystem?
A little bit of humbleness, understanding that just because you are standing in front of a company with 7 or 8 employees, they can have an immense effect on your business in now and also in the future. I think there's a lot of the C-levels out there, if you're not educated, right, you go in a collaboration with a startup and you are in a belief that you give so much to them, so you should have a lot from them. Be careful on that, and also be careful. So that is more the valuation side. Don't take more of an ownership than it allows the startup to also fundraise in the ecosystem again. Don't do that, right? And then I think, you know, when you start doing collaboration with a pretty early stage company, or be a little bit careful that you do not consume all their, for example, engineering power, so they can't build the product that they want to bring to market. Because then you end up in a situation where the startup dies without having a product they can sell to other customers. So those two are super important when you work with startups from a corporate side.
Perfect. Well, on that note, Jeppe, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time. And again, you know, I strongly recommend to anyone listening to follow Jeppe on LinkedIn and subscribe to his newsletter. It's always a very interesting read. So thanks so much for coming on the show, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to share my knowledge in corporate venturing. And if you are out there, you know, please reach out if you want to discuss the areas or part of it.
That's it for this week, folks. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I have been Fernando Moncada. Our sound engineer is Mark Chatterley from In-Ear Production. Go check out his work today at inearproduction.com. We'll be back again next week, as ever. Until then, have a good one.